Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to another edition of King Talk Radio. You are listening to New York City Council Member Andy King, where you chime into King Talk Radio, the show that gives you real views, real talk on real issues, issues that matter to us, whether it's about your loved one, whether it's spirituality, or whether it's just self-preservation. Anything that matters to you, we have real conversations here on King Talk. If you have any questions or concerns, you can always email us at kingtalkradioshow@gmail.com. Today's 22nd episode is about Father's Day. You can tune into us. We're not going to be live the show, but this is a recorded show because we had a wonderful day in the council district, but we had an extremely successful and blessed day at the 47th precinct where we're here sitting with Inspector Roy Stevenson, who is the inspector of the 47th precinct, who's done a marvelous job here for the last 3 years and some months and some days and a couple of minutes, and if you keep count, we'll give you a couple of seconds as well. But just want to keep you informed of what we're doing here in the 12th district. As we always do, we go into our community calendar. Just want to remind you that tomorrow, Saturday, the Allenton Avenue and Barnes Block Association, we're having a fourth annual Hello Block Party at Barnes Avenue between Allenton Avenue and Arnold Avenue from 12 to 8 p.m. Also happening tomorrow, we're asking you to join NYC Park at Century Park Band Show for zip lining, rock climbing, mountain biking, yoga, and more outdoor fun. This free festival is open to all ages and all abilities from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. We also want to let you know that everyone is invited to join the 6th annual Summer Fun Camp at Section 2 in Co-op City, Carver Loop, and Casals Place from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Watch for some of your favorite people to get dunked on, as we have the water dunk tank. You get to take photos at the photo booth. You get to dance with your dad. There will be free Frank's cotton candy popcorn. And if you got a feeling to do a little dancing, there'll be a little salsa dancing so you can practice your skills with a one-man band. So we're looking for everyone to come on out, because there will be a grateful martial arts demonstration that will take place as well as some of you are enjoying Zumba. You get an opportunity to listen to the great sounds of DJ Val, who'll be spinning songs and playing Name That Tune for a special prize. So we're looking forward to have a wonderful time. There will be carnival games and other free giveaways. And the Cardinal Hayes Drummers will open up the ceremony with the Veteran Post of 1871 Honor Guard. This is all happening tomorrow in Co-op City Section 2 at the Summer Fun Day. Just also, as we wrap up the community calendar, just want to let you know that the Bronx Community Board 10th June meeting will be held on Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the board office on 3165 East Tremont Avenue in the Bronx, New York 10461, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Remember, Community Board 10th June meeting is going to be Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the board office. And also on Tuesday, JASA's Father's Day lunch will take place at the Bay Eden Senior Center, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., so all the fathers are intended. Now, I always visit Jocelyn, and I know that a lot of our grandmas and our mothers show up. Dads, granddads, granduncles, it's time for you to come out and get off the couch and come on out and join the ladies and as we have celebrate you at Jocelyn this Father's Day on Tuesday's luncheon. And finally, on Thursday, the Land Use Committee of the Community Board 12 will be holding a public hearing to gather the comments of the community residents regarding the BSA application number 126-93-BZ11-1225 East 233rd Street. This is an application for the extension of terms of a variance to obtain a new certificate of occupancy, both of which expired on January 8, 2015. This will be held at Community Board 12 Town Hall, 4101 White Plains Road at 7 p.m. So we're going to be back here with Inspector Stevenson to talk about what it is to be a father. But at this time, we're going to be right back after this PSA as we take a moment about fathers and Father's Day. We'll be right back. This is Councilmember King on King Talk Radio.
Oh, hey, bud.
Oh.
Where are you headed?
I'm just going to hang out.
It's a school night.
With Gary and Todd?
Yeah.
Not sure about those two.
I've been meaning to ask you.
This is tougher than I thought.
Is there any drinking going on in this crowd?
No.
I hope not, because alcohol can lead you to say things and do things that you really wish you hadn't.
Isn't this what you're supposed to say?
I know.
So if any of your buddies ever pressure you to take a drink, just tell them you promised your dad you wouldn't.
I'd do anything to keep you safe.
Okay, I will.
I hope this is working.
I promise. Love you too, Dad.
They really do hear you.
Ryan.
Yeah?
So start the conversation even before they're teenagers.
Good idea.
For tips on what to say, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. A message from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration.
Welcome back to King Talk Radio. Thank you for chiming in to our episode 22 here with yours truly, New York City Councilmember Andy King. We're here at the 47th Precinct as we're talking to our dads who are also protecting and serving as police officers in the city and right now the Boogie Down Bronx. I'm joined today by Police Officer Chuck Alexander, who's been on the force for 12 years, as well as Police Officer Dwayne Carter, who's been on the force for...
Three and a half years.
So we have veterans and we have someone who has got 3 years in. So we're grateful for all the work that they've been doing to protecting us in the northeast section of the Bronx. But as we talk about Father's Day and we're enjoying this weekend, let's go over a brief history of what it is to be a father and the start of Father's Day. Just to let you know some quick facts that on July 5th, 1908, a West Virginia church sponsored the nation's first ever event explicit in honor of fathers. A Sunday sermon in memory of 362 men who had died in the previous December explosion at the Fairmont Coal Company mines in Mohonga. But this was a one-time commemoration and not an annual holiday. The next year, a Washington woman named Shanora Smart Dodd, one of the six children raised by a widower, tried to establish an official equivalent to the Mother's Day for male parents. She went to local churches, the YMCA, shopkeepers, and government officials to drum up support for her idea. And she was successful. Washington State celebrated the nation's first statewide Father's Day on June 19, 1910. Slowly, the holiday spread. In 1916, President Wilson honored the day by using telegraph signals to unfurl a flag in Spokane when he pressed a button in Washington, D.C. In 1924, President Calvin Coolidge urged the state governments to observe Father's Day. Today, honoring fathers is celebrated in the United States on the third Sunday in June. So for all of you dads, we say thank you for creating us. I say to my pops, thank you for all that you've done to lead me, guide me, teach me, and always have my back. But more importantly, as a veteran, being able to serve in Korea and delivering for the United States Armed Forces. I love you, and I appreciate you so much. But we're back here at the 47th Precinct with Police Officer Alexander and Officer Carter, as I like to say. And we just want to jump into a conversation with them. You know, what is it like to be a police officer? But more importantly, the first question, what is it like to be a father? We'll start with Officer Alexander.
Like previously said, I've got 12 years here in New York City as a police officer. When I started my career, I was young and single and had no children. Since then, I've gotten married and I've got three boys, ages 9, 6, and 1. It's great. I love being a father. I wouldn't change that for the world. If we had a better salary, I'd have more kids. But I'm going to call it quits at 3 for now. It's tough juggling the family life and you know, my work life. This is actually my first week back out on patrol in 6 years. I've been assigned to Patrol Borough Bronx for the past 6 years. Doing administrative duties there for the chief of the Bronx here. That schedule worked a lot better for my family life. My wife also works full time. She's a nurse in Orange County, New York. And her job is just as taxing as our job at times.
Yes, I can imagine.
She gets stuck at work with overtime and that, you know, as well as mine. My situation's a little tough. My wife and I, neither one of us have family here. So, you know, we have to rely on, you know, paid childcare at crazy hours. So sometimes I have to have a babysitter at the house at 4 a.m. To accommodate our schedules. And it's tough to find somebody that's willing to do that.
True, yeah.
I envy those who have family close and mother-in-law's living with them, although I hear the horror stories about that, but sometimes that pays off when it comes to, you know, us getting stuck at work. And you know, the job is unpredictable. You know, you can think you're going home in 20 minutes, and 2 days later you can still be sleeping in the command looking like a zombie. So that's tough on the kids, you know. They're always asking, when's daddy coming home? And, you know, there's an answer. We give them a time, but that, you know, you don't want to lie to the children. So it's tough. It's tough juggling a family and being a police officer.
Well, I do admire you, and I admire your commitment, because you make a steady sacrifice to protect and serve people that you don't know at the risk of not being able to be there for your own that came from your loins, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I applaud you for that, and I applaud you for your commitment to this job. And I know all New Yorkers feel the same. So those of you who look at officers as not as humans, you know, they do have families that loved ones who are looking for them to be home, especially a 9-year-old or a 6-year-old or 1-year-old is always always in search of daddy's arms. So thank you. Thank you for sharing, but thank you for your sacrifice. So let's turn over to Officer Carter, 3 years. And also I hear that you have 3 children as well.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit, how is it as being a father and a police officer?
It's great. I wouldn't change it for the world. I love my kids. I got a great wife. Before I came to this job, I used to drive tractor trailers. So it's a little different. I never thought I was going to be a police officer, actually. It was one of those things where it happened. When I came here, you know, like Inspector Stevenson, kind of like, you know, he was really humble on, you know, breaking us in. We used to work the beat. We did foot patrol here.
Mm-hmm.
We got to know the community. Very nice people. Everybody, like, showed us a lot of love. The kids, the moms, the dads. And it's been one hell of a ride. To be honest, I learned so much from this precinct, the community. And as far as that incorporated as a father and a husband at the same time, it's hard at times because, you know, our schedules are a little weird. But I try to compensate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I try to do the best I can for my wife and for my kids. And as well as I try to deliver the best police officer I can be for the community when I come to work.
Ooh, thank you. Thank you for that. What I've heard from both of you is that having wives that are supportive can always help plug in a gap. But for you, Alexander, sometimes with some challenges, because her schedule can be just as demanding as yours. So,
yeah, absolutely. You know, with her job, you know, I kind of wish she was a teacher and had the same holidays off that the kids have off.
Yeah.
But, you know, we both have to work holidays. Nurses and, you know, medical professionals don't get steady holidays, and cops don't get steady holidays. So this particular Father's Day, I'm scheduled to work. So I'll be here working a 4 to 12. And, you know, hopefully the only thing I can hope is that it's a quiet day and everybody is celebrating and having a good time and enjoying their families. You know, and holidays often get celebrated on different days in our household.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the past 9 years that I've been a father, we've actually celebrated Christmas once on Christmas Day. You know, and when they're young, it's easy to manipulate them a little bit and
mm-hmm.
get them a day off
mm-hmm.
and celebrate it a day earlier, a day later.
Mm-hmm.
As they get older, it's a lot tougher to do. You know, they're talking to their friends and
yeah.
they know today's not Christmas.
That's kind of interesting, because that leads into the next question, because I wanted to know, when you do get home after coming from a 48-hour tour, what is it like walking into the house?
I live about an hour and 15 minutes north of New York City, so one good thing about that is I've got a lot of wind-down time, so no matter how bad my day is here and how poorly I was treated or how nice I was treated, whether it's by the community or by supervisors or colleagues, I've got wind down time. And one thing, you know, I promised myself is I'll never bring my job home.
Mm.
So okay. I don't walk in the house, you know, if I got the worst assignment of the day and, you know, or I had a tough job out there with someone in the community and, you know, whether my, you know, I got bloodied up or whatever the case is, you know, I go home and I leave it on the doorstep. I leave it in the car. Music,
good.
You know, I use that time to speak to my family on the way home, you know, and you know, I let it out and I walk in the house and, you know, I'm dad. I'm not a police officer at home. So,
even when it's time to discipline?
Well, my wife's German and she's pretty strict. So we've got the discipline thing down, but, you know, currently I'm working 4 to 12, so I get home about 1:30 in the morning. And the first thing I do is I walk in each of the kids' bedrooms and, you know, I give them a kiss. And then I go take my shower and go about my business and go to bed.
Okay. So, Officer Carter, let's hear from you, because I understand from him he lives an hour and a half away. So he's the guy that you see on the highway. You think he's yelling and having a conniption fit behind the wheel, but actually he's just singing some Tom Jones, I guess, or something.
Well, it's a little different for me. I mean, I live in the city. Mm-hmm. I grew up uptown in Washington Heights. I moved to the Bronx. So I'm used to, you know, the city. When I leave work, usually for the past 2 years, I didn't have a day off because I'll get off work and around 6, I'll go to what was called Pay Detail, mm-hmm. like whatever, Madison Square Garden or sometimes Yankee Stadium. And I'll do that 7 days a week for the last 2 years, mm-hmm. just because my wife tried working, but it was not working for us. Daycare was $250 per kid. I got 3. So wow. I had to come out of pocket.
You had to work for daycare.
Right. So we decided it was best for my wife to stay home for now until mm-hmm. the kids are bigger and take care of the kids. And I'll just, you know, sacrifice, you know, not being home as much to, mm-hmm. you know, pay the bills and groceries and whatnot.
Okay. So that leads me to my next question for both of you. I'll start with you, Officer Carter. What does fatherhood mean to you?
It means being a great role model. It means, for me, I take it personally that my sons and my daughter, they have to overachieve me. Mm. I overachieve my father. You know, I'm first generation that graduated college. I'm working on my master's right now, so to speak. The NYPD has this program where they help you, you know, pursue your master's.
Okay.
So I'm taking advantage of that. So I say this, like, whatever it is that I accomplish, my sons and my daughter, they have to overachieve me. I want to set the standard and the bar as high as I can mm-hmm. for them to have that, you know, stepping stone, and the legacy continues and stuff.
Okay, I appreciate that. You know, that's what fathers tend to say. You know, my dad used to say that to me. I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be better than me.
Right.
You know, so he provided opportunities for me to get a college degree because he didn't. And I'm grateful for that because that education helped open doors to opportunities, which sometimes can be limited just because society can label or put so many criteria for you to reach the next plateau that you can't do without getting some other additional something mm-hmm. to get that key to get you into the door. So for you, both of you as officers, how do you interact if you are on patrol and you run into a father that's in need of help because of whatever brought you to your paths to cross? How do you deal with that? Do you get an opportunity to learn that the gentleman is a father? What would be your next steps? You know, if a gentleman is in crisis out there, or you know, how do you manage that?
I definitely think, in general, you're more sensitive and in tune with someone if you have experienced what they've experienced. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, and before I had children, I didn't mind working the holidays so someone could be off with their child, but I didn't really know how much that would have meant, you know, to them.
Right.
And now that I have children, and holidays such as, you know, Halloween, you can't celebrate Halloween any different day. You're going to get arrested showing up just silly to somebody's house, knocking on their door on a different day. So, you know,
you pull out the cuffs.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I think being a father and then running into people, you know, men and women with children, mm-hmm. Not just men, but anyone with children, I think, you know, it really hits home when you see a child that's in danger and you're like, man, I got a 6-year-old home and this, you know, I got a 1-year-old home, or I remember when my child was this age. So I think, you know, I think it really, I mean, I'm not saying people without children aren't passionate and mm-hmm. compassionate about children, but I think once you experience something that someone else has experienced, it really does change you and gives you a different perspective, and you know, you can, gives you a little bit more empathy, and I think you can connect with them on a different level. And, you know, and I have no problem sharing some of my personal business on every job I go to. If mm-hmm. if it is a job with a child involved, I'll let them know, hey, I know, I got kids at home. I understand right. the hardship, you know what I mean? Whether they're fighting over money or whatever the case is, yeah. like you said, whatever brought us to cross paths, I think that you can connect with them. And once you let them know that you have children, like you stated in the beginning of the radio show, you know, that lets them know we are humans. Mm. You know, we're not robots in uniforms.
Right, right.
And, you know, and a lot of people, there's a lot of people out there who dislike the police. They dislike the uniform. They don't dislike Chuck Alexander. They haven't met me.
Right.
I tell them, I'm like one of the coolest people you'll meet.
Yeah.
You know, like, we could hang out together, you know, and we could be great friends. You just may not like the fact that I'm here in the capacity of a police officer right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having children kind of really brings that, you know, it brings, and letting you know, whoever you're dealing with, letting them know that you're a family man.
Right.
Or just, hey, you know, you're having problems with your wife? Listen, I got a wife. You know, we got our problems.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of brings you guys down at the same level.
Okay, excellent. Well, I want to thank both of you gentlemen for joining me today on King Talk Radio and sharing your experiences of what it is to be an officer, but also with Dad First and the challenges and the blessings and rewards of wearing both hats. So I want to thank both of you. I'm joined here at the 47th Precinct with Police Officer Chuck Alexander and Police Officer Dwayne Carter. And I'm thankful for both of you for protecting and serving. And when you get home this weekend, tell them to give you the big piece of chicken.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back on King Talk Radio with Inspector Stevenson of the 47th Precinct. We'll be right back after this public service announcement.
Hey, everyone. You know, let's all stop what we're doing right now and take a moment. That felt good, huh? Just like that, we had a nice special sort of moment together. Of course, they don't all need to be quiet moments to be special. They could be loud moments, goofy moments, sporty moments, dorky moments. Moments where we talk or walk or just hang out. It doesn't really matter. They all count. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. Sounds like somebody agrees. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Today, call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We're back live here at the 47th Precinct, even though tonight's show will be aired at 7 p.m. We're here at the 47th Precinct to celebrate this weekend's Father's Day history. You're talking to a police officers and an Inspector Stevenson of the 47th Precinct, what it is to also be on the force as well as being a father. But earlier today, we celebrated, and I'm grateful and honored, as we in government tend to make sure that we have built better relationships with our men and women in blue. I always believe that in order for someone to feel good about the job they do, the environment that welcomes them each and every day needs to be equally inviting. So today I was glad to be able to allocate $1 million. We presented a check to the 47th Precinct, to Inspector Stevenson and Commissioner O'Neill about what they can do, and Inspector's now gonna have $1 million to spend to spruce up the precinct here. So first we want to welcome Inspector Stevenson to the show. We want to say, we just want to hear from him. I was grateful to be able to do this. The precinct that's not far from my house that does and delivers on protecting our neighborhoods. Inspector Stevenson, just want to open up the mic to you about your thoughts on things that happened today here for your precinct. Inspector Stevenson.
Councilman King, thank you. Thank you for having me on King Talk. This is an honor. And this is actually my first time on talk radio, so it's historical and an honor to be here.
My pleasure.
I just want to share with you today what an historical day today was. And it was made possible because of you and because you're a man of your word, keeping your word. When you say you're going to do something, you get it done. And so today's gesture, today's historical contribution is not only personal because it impacts directly the men and women here and their performance of their duties to the community. It's also historical because it's never been done. And when you have members of this department whose job it is to provide, protect, to serve, don't often receive. And while they're not necessarily getting this money to put in their personal account or their pockets, it's money given to the department that the community is going to benefit from. By giving this generous donation of $1 million to renovate and restructure and do some things here in the precinct, it will ultimately put the cops in a better frame of mind to be able to go out and perform. Officers spend countless hours in these buildings, between these walls, oftentimes more times than they spend at home. So with this, with the funding that we just received from you, Councilman King, we can now make this place as close to being home as possible, where we can renovate the bathrooms, renovate the locker rooms, where they spend hours. We can spruce up the gym and get new equipment where officers can train and be fit. And more importantly, find a way to relieve the stress that this job brings to officers, something that is not often spoke about because officers tend to deal with that on their own. They tend to deal with it at home with their families. Now they have a facility, or will have a facility, that prepares them better to go out into the community and serve the community. And so we are grateful and we are thankful for you, Councilman King, and for being able to do this. But we understand as officers, and I understand as the police, commanding officer for this police precinct, that this donation doesn't necessarily go directly to the cops. It goes to the cops and it also goes to the community. Mm. So this is a community, this is a gift to the community. Mm. And, you know, it's gonna speak volume how it's gonna pay dividend. But one of the other most important way that this money is gonna be used is for a memorial wall. Six fallen officers of the 47th precinct whose name and legacy we want to memorialize, and we want to redo the wall, renovate the wall, and make it a wall that stands out, that when someone walks in here, they would feel proud to know that the NYPD does not forget those who have fallen, those who have sacrificed the ultimate, and also for the families of those fallen officers. So Councilman King, by you making this generous contribution, these are all the things that you're making possible through this nice gesture and this this donation. So we thank you, I thank you for it. And the almost 400 men and women in the 47, thank you. And the over 250,000 47 resident in your district will see the benefit in the good result in what we're gonna do with this.
Well, thank you. Glad to do it. You know, like I said, I know when you wake up in the morning and you stumble out of bed and your bedroom is neat and you go downstairs in your kitchen and it's neat and clean, you feel a whole lot different in yourself than you got to go out and fight pots and pans or trip over toys or trip over stuff, you know. So we want, you know, the goal is to make sure our officers feel just as great when they walk into the precinct, that they have to go out and serve and protect the people, that they're in a great, good state of mind. To deliver on the promise and the commitment they made to serving and protecting. So let's transition, talking about tripping over toys. You know, I know you have 3 children. Some of them are teens and younger. So tell us a little bit about, you know, tell us about your children and how many you have. I know you said 3, but a little bit about each one of their personalities and how is this to be a dad with 3 kids and being an inspector on the police force?
Absolutely. you know, I tell people all the time, you see the men and women in uniform, and, you know, some people don't realize that we're the same people as an individual out there in the street, a regular civilian. Before I joined this job, I was a regular civilian and a person just like everyone else. I grew up in the streets of Brooklyn, ran the street, played ball, did everything that, you know, a normal young kid from the city would do, and liked the same thing, like basketball, like dancing, like sports and everything else. So that's important. You know, it's important that people understand that, you know, first and foremost, for me anyway, you know, I'm a man, I'm black, and then I'm an inspector in that order. And I want the respect in that order, because being an inspector on this job, or whatever rank on this job, is only a small chapter of my life. You know, the most important part of my life is my family. And that's first before anything. And so, you know, I have three children. DeAndre is 19, Janae, she's 16, and my son, Joel Jr., he's 14. You know, DeAndre is a split image of me. She's a great athlete. She was a swimmer, basketball player, very bright young woman who inspires to be a doctor. She did two semesters at Hampton University in Virginia.
Okay.
She's going to relocate here in New York. My 16-year-old daughter, Janae, just graduated high school. She's looking to get into criminal justice. Still seeking out schools right now. Most likely she'll probably wind up in a school here in the city. And my son, Ruel Jr., he's going to follow in my footsteps. He's currently just finished 1 year at Severian High School, where I graduated.
Okay.
Here is Brooklyn.
Okay.
He plays basketball. He's a top student, you know, student athlete.
Okay.
And he too wants to go into medicine. So, you know, each of those three kids are a part of me, you know, similar to the things that I like and how I go about my daily life and my commitment. You know, I see that in them, you know. Okay. But, you know, the important part of, and hopefully I'm not jumping the gun before you ask the question, because I think I know where you might be going with this. I might not be the best guest. But, you know, it's important for people to understand that, you know, it's an added plus to be a parent and a cop.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Because, you know, being a parent, you get to learn how to be patient.
So true. Yes.
It's, you know, it's something that you learn to become is patient. But more importantly, life becomes even more important. The life that you brought into this world become important, and the lives of young ones that you come across become even more important. Because as a parent, when you look at others, other children, you see your kids, and you hope for them what you hope for yours. And you go the extra nine when you come across a child, because you know what you would want if that were your kid. So as an officer, it's an added plus or bonus to know that, you know, you're a parent too. And there's so many different life's lessons and advice you can provide to those you come in contact with in the street, because you've lived it. You know, you have a life that you have, that you're trying to nurture, that you're trying to shape, that you've shaped, that you've changed. So, you know, not just because you lived it, you're currently living it, and you're able to speak to it. You know, when you come across folks and young ones and other parents out there.
Right.
So it is an added bonus to be a parent and
an
officer.
So what I'm hearing from you, it has allow, and officers who have children, if I'm hearing you correctly, sounds like it allows them, if I can say this, kind of humanizes you too when you're in the streets. If you're fresh out of the academy, no children, you're following the book, you're gung-ho, you might not be as sensitive to recognize a scenario because you haven't walked it yet. But having children allows you to say, this woman who was losing her mind on the street, walking with three kids, as opposed to treating her like, you know, like she just committed the worst crime, not understanding, you know, she's struggling with three children. Why is she mentally in a space right now? And it helps you resolve the situation with less friction, so to say to speak. So I kind of applaud and appreciate that, your candor and your wisdom on that. So it allows our listeners to understand that officers, especially dads, you know, they care that much. Everyone cares, but there is a reality when you live an everyday experience that you can identify with the people that you protect and serving on the street. So thank you for addressing that. I do want to just quickly just kind of shift a little bit. Earlier we were speaking with two of your officers here, Alexander and Carter, and both of them have three children, and you happen to have three children, but their children are young. Your children are a little older and teen. So they gave their examples of what it is to come home, you know, to a one-year-old or a six-year-old or a nine-year-old. How is it the communication and the interaction now that your children are that much, they're in their early, or not early teens, but mid-teens and late teens? It's a different communication, it's a different response, you know, as is when you walk into and a one-year-old is ready to hold you and grab you, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, as opposed to a 19-year-old says, I got my life going on, Dad. Good to see you. I'll talk to you later.
No, you know, it's funny you should ask that, because the one thing that I will tell you is, as a parent, you might know already that the younger age, enjoy them while they're young. While you can tell them what to do, and, you know, while you can manipulate everything about them and get all the kisses that you can, yeah. Because when they get older, you know, those things come almost never.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But no, they, you know, when they become older, they are finding their way as a, you know, as a young adult or a teen. You know, they're still feeling their way through, and you have to give them their room. You know, they're isolated a bit. You have to tend to initiate contact with them. You have to force yourself onto them. You have to bring them into conversation and invite them out, because most often they want to be around their friends.
Yeah.
And nowadays with social media, you know, they're caught up on Facebook and Instagram and their phone, and they're always emailing and texting. So they really don't want anything to do with mommy and daddy too much.
You have to
initiate it. So for me, you know, every so often, grabbing them and taking them out, going out to dinner, sitting them down, let them put their phones aside, and, you know, having that that father-son, father-daughter conversation is important. You know, not too often nowadays does families sit down and have Sunday dinner. Everybody's so busy running in different directions, trying to make, you know, ends meet. But those are the important things that I was raised and grew up with, is the sitting down in the family time, movie nights and Sunday dinners. That's where you build the family traditions. You know, those are the things that are most important in a family. You know, it's memories. You know, building those memories and tradition. You can leave as a parent on this earth whatever riches you have to your kids, whatever material things. But one of the most valuable things that you can leave behind are memories.
Mm.
And so, you know, those good memories where you sit down, you laugh, you joke, you do annual things with them. So, you know, as a parent, that's what you have to do, because the older they get, they tend to not want to even have birthday parties or, you know, be part of any function.
Right.
So it's important to just build on that and take an initiative to do it. But just to go back to one thing you mentioned about the young officers, you know, I didn't want to insinuate that the younger the officers and whether or not they had kids, that they cannot be effective police officers. You know, it's important to stress that being a parent is an added attribute to being a cop. Okay. You know, so I don't want the young cops to run out there after hearing this. If they're listening to King talk, yeah, they start running out there going to have babies because, you know, I'm going to be a good cop if I have a baby.
You know, but, chew that. They be working overtime. Hey, Inspector, can I work today?
Yes. But it is an added bonus.
Well, great. Well, we're gonna be wrapping up. King Talk is coming to an end. You know, when we're speaking, you always have a good time, and time truly flies by. But we're gonna be right back with Inspector Stevenson on King Talk Radio right after this public service announcement.
Before you get into a fight, Walk away.
Walk away.
Walk away.
Walk away.
Just walk away.
When you get angry, don't get revenge.
Walk away.
Walk away.
Walk away.
Just walk away.
Pray.
Pray.
Guns kill, knives kill. Sticks and stones will break bones.
Not if you walk away.
Count to 10.
You may need to
stay away.
Stop the violence.
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 Life is precious. Let's keep New York City safe. Stop the violence. We're back at King Talk Radio, the show that has real views, real talks on the things that matter to you. Whether you live in the 12th District or beyond, we're here to talk about things, whether it's spirituality, your better half, your other half, just the things that keep you going each and every day here on King Talk Radio. If you have any thoughts or suggestions or any questions about what you want to hear on King Talk Radio, please give us a call at kingtalkradio@gmail.com with any conversations that you want us to deliver. We are here every Friday, 7 p.m. Today, we happen to be at the 47th Precinct and having a conversation about an historic check presentation I was able to deliver to help build the station house here at the 47th Precinct on Laconia Avenue. But more importantly, we're here talking this Father's Day weekend, talking with a number of officers and Inspector Stevenson about what it is to wear the shield while going home and having to man the shield at home and taking care of business as a dad. One last question before we get ready to close out our show. I know that you have some spirituality. I heard your story in the past of growing up as a Seventh-day Adventist. How have you balanced that relationship with your creator, as well as serving and blending in and educating your children at the same time?
Wow.
You got 30 seconds to figure out how you do that.
No, that's a very important question because that's the center of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, governed by that, understanding that, you know, you answer to the higher. And if you live that way, that's your check, that's your balance in everything that you do. And I find in my line of business, there are a lot of young ones who don't have that. You know, you have a 15-year-old who can say, you know, if I shoot someone, I do 15 years in jail, I come out, I'm 30, I'm still young. To be able to give up 30 years or 15 years of your life just like that, that means you don't feel as though you have anybody high to answer. You can just pull the trigger and take a life, and you can also ruin your life, and you don't worry about that. So I think it's the center of who I am as a person, how I govern and live my life, because I know at the end I will have to answer up. And that's what I teach my kids, you know, to be good, to be a decent person, and try and do good, try to be productive. You know, if we keep, there's so much evil out there in this world, and if that's all we focus on, instead of being constructive and building. You know, if the last thing out of your mouth was how you're going to destroy somebody, right, or your plan to disrupt somebody's life, as opposed to planning to do something good and making somebody's life change in a good way, a productive way, then you've misused your purpose on this earth.
Well,
so that's what I teach my kids and I practice in my lifestyle.
Well, I thank you and I appreciate it. I thank those words of wisdom that you've offered to us and helping us understand how it is to wear the shield and to go home and manage children. We all count on you all to be community dads as well when you're out there serving and protecting us all. So again, everyone, we want to thank Inspector Roel Stevenson of the 47th Precinct for his time this evening on King Talk Radio. And as we always do, we end every show with a scripture to lead the way, because you all know that God is the one that's in charge, and without him, nothing can be accomplished. So tonight's scripture comes from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 14. When Jesus saw the way of adults treated, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as thee." In summary, Jesus loves his children and wants to be involved in their lives. If we as fathers have the same attitude, imagine the possibilities. Young children admire their dads and want to be like them. So fathers must carefully consider what kind of examples they are setting for their children. For example, teach your children about goals and how to obtain them. The best way to do this is by example. When your child sees you get up every day to leave to go to work or your place of business, they learn the importance of having a job or a business. If the child watches their dad always put forth the best effort, whatever he does, the child will more than likely follow the father's examples of diligence. However, if dad is lazy, the children will grow up with more times with those same bad habits. And I say to all our fathers, what are the qualities that you want to pass down to your children? And one of the most important things the fathers can do is, regardless of the relationship that you have with the young lady that you decided to have a child with, remember that your commitment is to dad to those children. Regardless of the relationship of mom decides to go in a different direction, you must protect and deliver for those children. They grow up to be us. So whatever you want your child to grow up to be, you have to feed them the right information, the right manners and etiquette, and the right scripture inside of their souls so they can deliver for their children. I always tell young men, remember, your son's first encounter with the opposite sex is with their mother. So if you're treating your mother like royalty, the mother of your children like royalty, they will learn up to treat women like royalty, which they should be treated. So I ask you all to do all you can to be the best father you can be the best man you can be, and be the best servant of Christ. If we do that, our children have hope for tomorrow. Again, thank you for tuning in for the 22nd episode of King Talk Radio. We're here with Inspector Steven and all the officers. We wish you well this Father's Day weekend. Be well, be blessed. Till next weekend, God got your back. And if no one told you today, God loves you, and so do I. Peace. Their best to separate the people, so we couldn't.